Technology.ie. It's Tuesday, September 23rd, 2014.
Technology.ie is brought to you by Ireland's premier hosting and domain registration company, Black Knight. Black Knight offer a comprehensive range of hosting and domain solutions for businesses of all shapes and sizes, no matter where they are in the world.
Keith Voltrovistock, this is Conor Muinichon in the Black Knight studio, and on the phone line I've got Gary Delaney from locatecode.com. Is that the correct address, Gary?
Locatecode.com or .ie or .co.uk. There's multiple ways into Locatecode.
Excellent. Gary, welcome to the show. I've phoned you this morning because in response to a post and an article that we put yesterday on technology.ie, we actually based it around a video that you'd posted on Facebook last month in relation to the introduction of postcodes here in Ireland. Just to fill people in on the background to this, earlier this year, the then Minister for Communications, Pat Rabbit, announced that the contract had been awarded to a company called Capita to operate a system which is going to be called Aircode, which will finally, after a long time, introduce postcodes here in Ireland. This is supposed to be coming into effect by next spring. We're all going to be told what our postcodes are. However, Gary, a number of people, and yourself in particular, are concerned about a number of aspects of this, whether or not this proposed new system by Aircode is fit for purpose, and indeed whether or not the whole process of tendering was run in accordance with proper rules and procedures. First of all, Gary, let's acknowledge this. You've got a dog in this race.
Absolutely. We've been involved in the idea of a solution for an address code for Ireland since 2005. So myself, I'm a navigator. I'm in the business and have been in the business of finding places for quite a number of years, first at sea, but then I found my way ashore in 1998 from the Navy. I'm a land surveyor and I have worked for utility companies and people like that trying to find a way around Ireland. And really, since before 2005, we've been trying to find a solution to the fact that we have good sat navs available in Ireland but very poor addressing. So we were involved in a solution to that for quite some time, and were consulted in 2005 as to what a postcode should be for Ireland. So ever since then we've been in this game.
So and you were saying to me, Gary, that this has kind of changed over the course of it in terms of that whole idea. What are the requirements of this project? What is it that in a postcode or an address code should actually be? What was it back in 2005 when you went to work on this? What were the principles involved?
I think the main principles were to find a solution to the fact that a large number of properties in Ireland, over 750,000 properties, have what they call an ambiguous address. In other words, someone else has the same address. And most people in Ireland are familiar with that in some way or other. And that doesn't just happen in rural areas, it happens in city areas, but particularly in industrial sites where there is no numbering. So the idea was to find a solution to that leading up to liberalisation of the postal market, in other words, to allow other people to deliver post in Ireland. So the focus was on post, even though on post we're saying that it wasn't the postcode that was needed to sort mail. And I think generally people would have said, and I would have been very strong in saying, look, the first issue here is public safety, and secondly, it's about finding places, not about sorting mail. However, the tender, when it went after many years, as you correctly says, we're now 11 years talking about this, but when it finally went to tender in 2011, it was still about designing a code for sorting post. But that's not what came out the back end of the tender. We're now into a code for identifying properties, not so much for finding them, but for administrative purposes and some might say tax purposes.
Because it involves not just, let's say, typical postcodes maybe that people might be used to would perhaps give you resolution down to a particular building. This new postcode, the Aircode system, is actually going to be able to identify individual apartments in an apartment building, for example.
Yeah, and in the art of navigation, I'm a fellow of the Royal Institute of Navigation, and that sounds all very nice, but it means that I've been over 30 years in the business of navigating both at sea and on land. So the art of navigation is the safe and efficient conduct of people, goods, or vehicles, including vessels, from A to B. So in that process of navigation, the human navigates from area to area and eventually down to the final location. Mm. But if you design a code, as we have done with AirCode, that is only interested not in areas but in a final destination, then that's an administrative code, not a navigation code. It's true about AirCode that it will identify a very large area in what they call the routing code, the first three characters, which in the Dublin area is D04 or D11 or whatever, which are large areas, but they're now going to apply to rural areas in Ireland. We don't know what the allocations will be yet. I have no doubt that people may be a little bit upset when they hear them, but they're going to be very large areas covering towns, townland areas, quite substantial and no good for anyone really from a personal navigation sense. And then the next kind of feature will be the precise location. There won't be a local area which indicates your street or even your townland or even your housing estate. It'll be straight to the door. And that's not how humans navigate.
Now, let's distinguish a little bit more, Gary, between navigation and finding areas and actually delivering letters into letterboxes and things like that. I want to know, one of the things that people are kind of interested in here is in relation to emergency services, ambulances and things like that. At what point, that's been something that you've been involved with from early on as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, again, part of why LocateCode was designed, again, coming from my background in military service and service to the state and stuff like that and emergencies and all that kind of stuff, one of the requirements, and number one requirement for the LocateCode when it was designed, is that it should be a major asset to public safety on land in Ireland. Mm. And in that regard, we all kind of tend to think in terms of fires or ambulance services in relation to getting to doors. But a large proportion of those things happen away from houses, away from properties, along roads and off roads even. And if you're going to design a code that will be efficient for those purposes as well as going to properties, then it must have the flexibility to be able to be created on the fly. Mm. AirCode is a database system. If it's not in the database, it doesn't exist. AirCode will only apply to places where mail is delivered. So, for instance, on a major educational campus like UCC or UCD or any of the universities, one building on the whole campus has the mail delivered to it by on post. That's the only place that will have a postcode. All the other buildings, if someone has a heart attack in them, then there will be no postcode to, no air code to guide anybody to that building. You can have a locate code for that. You can have a locate code for the building. You can have a locate code for the road outside if there's an accident on it. You can have a locate code for a wind turbine where somebody unfortunately may have had an accident or whatever. You can generate a locate code on the fly for that. So when we're talking about designing a postcode, we use the term postcode because it's a popular and widely understood term, and in the UK it's now designed or is now associated with navigation. But in fact, it's not a postcode we really want to talk about. It's an address code or a navigation code. Unfortunately, air code is a property code. Locate code is a navigation or address code.
So in your experience, Gary, the requirements for this changed over the period of 10, 12 years that we're talking, well, not just about 8 or 9 years, I think, isn't it?
Well, the funny thing is all the discussion over leading up to the tender, which was 8 years, was about the design of the code. And the design was all to do with on-post and postcodes, i.e. sorting mail. Mm. But something happened when the tender started. And I believe, and I don't know this 100%, but I do believe that on-post were still saying, lads, we don't really need this. Mm. So, and it's going to cost us, the on-post said it's going to cost them 27 million at least to implement it. So with the mail business going down, mail volumes going down, was hard to justify on their behalf anyhow. Mm. So somehow during the tender process, which was supposed to last 9 months, And in the end went on for almost 3 years, the requirement changed. And we know that we were in the middle of an economic collapse in Ireland. And we know also during that period that there was a new focus on new taxes. Mm-hmm. And property tax was the first of those to raise its head. And, you know, we fell short. And here's the fact is, and everyone will admit this, that we hadn't got a proper addressing system in Ireland, and as we didn't have a proper addressing system, we didn't have a proper address database in Ireland. That was the problem that people had when they went to talk about property tax. Mm. I'm not going to argue the rights and wrongs of taxes or property taxes, but a postcode doesn't solve an address database. You can have an address database without a postcode. They're two separate things, but we've got them all confused, and air code is the result of that confusion.
Now, even before, as you say, the tender process itself went on for about 3 years, Gary, but even while you were waiting for it to get underway, you were working with partners and with other companies and organisations, and in fact, you launched your Locate Code before any tender process was announced. Why did you do that?
Yeah, because we launched in July 2010. Mm. LocateCode is around and working since then. We had tested it actually with Garmin, with the emergency services and with couriers and people like that since 2006. Mm. And we had waited. We were waiting for this tender to happen, but every deadline was missed and there was never a commitment to the future. We had people waiting for these things, desperately people kind of in rural Ireland saying, well, look, when the ambulance is coming to us, they can't find us, so how do we solve this? So instead of waiting, we got fed up waiting for a tender process because it just wasn't happening and there was no commitments to it. So we got Enterprise Ireland backing. Yeah. Which meant we went through a very rigorous due diligence on the technology and the business plan associated with it. We got private investment from abroad, a guy called Tony Carson, son of the comedian Frank Carson, so he's involved in our project. Yeah. And we delivered it to the market. And we actually got welcome from members of the Labour Party publicly, making public statements at the time when we delivered it. And it's been in use ever since, proven, tried, tested and proven. So the reason we did it was out of frustration. We didn't know the tender was going to suddenly arrive then about 6 months later, because it just had failed to happen over the previous. It was supposed to be. Noel Dempsey set a deadline in 2005 that we would have a postcode by 1st of January 2008. Obviously, that never happened, but there was no commitments to the future. So we just said, look, it's a case of the country needs something, and if we're going to wait, we'd still be waiting, as is the case right now. So we just delivered it and made it happen.
But when that tender process was announced, Gary, you got a nasty surprise.
We did. First of all, with tenders nowadays, they're supposed to be prior information notices with reasonable information in them. And there was a prior information notice in the November 2009, but it didn't give any information in terms of the criteria that would be required of people wishing to participate. So blindly, we carried on until January 2010 when the tender was announced, and it set a requirement of 40 million turnover for anyone who wished to participate. And obviously that kind of put us out of the market as an SME, a startup company, albeit supported by Enterprise Ireland. It's not something that we could do. Now, we tried to have that clarified through the Department of Communications, who took 3 or 4 months to actually respond. So the tender was actually closed by the time they responded. We had no choice at that stage but to appeal that to the procurement unit in the European Union and ask them to investigate the tender, which, as we know, recently they came back and told us that the conditions set breached EU regulations but also breached best practice.
Mm. And did so in the way that they said you had to have a turnover of 40 million, but it didn't make it clear to you that you could have that perhaps as part of a larger consortium, or that the thing could be broken down, you were saying.
We had that clarified, yeah. Con, and we had we in fact, it's still on the record. You'll find, you know, with every tender there are clarification questions, and they're publicised and they're still on the Department of Communication website. We specifically asked, you know, did that apply to the total income for all the parts of the consortium or individual companies in the consortium, and the return was that it was required of every individual company, which is the bit that breached EU regulation.
And the EU have now said, no, that's not the case, that was wrong, that shouldn't have been.
Yeah, it breached EU regulations. But there's two issues here. One is that it breached procurement regulations, and that's an outright breach for which the Department of Communications have had a slap on the wrist, and essentially they have put it to ourselves to take them to court, and that process and possibility is still open. But also they've identified the fact that best practice, not a breach of regulations, but best practice was also broken. And the best practice is laid down, or was laid down at that time in Department of Finance Circular 1010, which is all about national procurement, government procurement, and the way it should facilitate the participation of SMEs such as ourselves. You know, we're supposed to be facilitating technology in this country. We're supposed to be facilitating technology companies and small to medium enterprises and entrepreneurs like myself. And Finance Circular 1010 suggests ways that government departments in their procurement process can actually facilitate that. And one of those recommendations is that if you break tenders down into constituent parts, into lots, as they call them, then obviously it's easier for companies to participate. So if you take the postcode tender, and this all gets confused, 95% of what's happening now in relation to air code is all about connecting or creating databases. But what is the postcode tender? One is design a postcode. Number two, implement the postcode. Number three, maintain and manage the postcode. So there's three lots there, as suggested by the Department of Finance. And obviously the first one, which is design the postcode, is perfectly suited to us. They wouldn't have had to set anything like 40 million as a turnover requirement for that. And it would guarantee that somebody who had experience, because we were in the market already proving, we had proved locate codes on devices and with emergency services and couriers since 2006. So our technology was well proven, so we could have participated in the design phase. And I think they've paid maybe 2 or 3 million euros at this stage for the design element. I think anyone would agree that it was perfectly suited to us. But there would have been other, I'm sure, SMEs out there that may have wanted to have a go at that too, but equally were prevented from doing so by this 40 million euro setting, which is the bit that breached EU regulations.
This seems to be building over the last couple of months. When did the EU come back with their report? It was quite recently.
Well, they actually came back with the report in last October.
Okay.
And they made the Taoiseach's, the point of contact for that is the Taoiseach's office.
Okay.
So they made the Taoiseach's office aware of that, and his job then was to pass it on to the Department of Communications, and we were waiting for them to react, but they never did. In fact, they were asked on several occasions in questions in the Dáil, what's going to happen with that, or what's the outcome, and they denied that there was any breaches at all. So it's only recently that we made it publicly available because we anticipated that the Department of Communications would have dealt with it well before that, but they didn't.
Okay. So what do you think should happen now, Gary? The tender process was faulty, let's say, but it is it's just a slap on the wrist from the point of view of the EU and the Department of Communications. The Department of Communications appear to be continuing with this. The contract is awarded to Aircode, and yet you and people like you are saying, hold on a minute. Not only was this process faulty, but the Freight Transport Association of Ireland have come out in recent weeks and said that the Aircode system is, in their view, questionably fit for purpose. And they've said they're not going to use it. They're going to continue to use other systems such as yourselves. What is wrong with Aircode, in your view, Gary?
It's not a publicly orientated system. It's not designed for public use. It's complicated. It requires a database to operate. It needs a database to keep it operated. It's not flexible to suit codes other than where letterboxes are. Its random nature, it makes it very subjective to error, small errors creating or transcribing an air code will mean large errors on the ground. In other words, completely the wrong place for an ambulance or whatever. It has a lot wrong with it. And the problem is that it has never been tested. There has been no proof of concept done. There has been no field testing done. It is no more than an ambition in terms of a navigation or a get to find places code. It has not be does not have the support of any major sat-nav or navigation manufacturer. And contrast that to the fact that LocateCode went through a rigorous testing process from 2006 to 2009 with emergency services and other people and adjusted itself as a result of the feedback from that. It's well tried and tested and proven. It's flexible. It's modern. It's not overly technical. It is technical. It's not overly technical to the point that you can actually see a LocateCode on signs and things like that without invading privacy. So it has that flexibility if privacy is an issue. So we're at a point where we have a system called AirCode, which it doesn't meet all the requirements set down in 2005, overly hidden, overly technical code. And we have a code that works, proven, tried, tested, and proven. And we have a new minister.
Yeah.
And the new minister is the one that's going to, he's the first minister of all the four ministers that have been involved in this over the last 11 years that is going to have to live with it and stand over it and go back to another election having delivered it to the country. So he has a choice. Go with something that's unproven or go back to the boards and look at something that is proven as an alternative, and maybe bring in some sort of independent assessment to see what is best. There was another tender started in December of 2013, which is 9-10 months ago, and the purpose of the tender was to appoint consultants to oversee the implementation of AirCode, but also to make a judgment as to whether it was fit for purpose. There is no published results of that tender process, so we don't know whether it actually has concluded or not. There is a suggestion that it has, but for some reason the results haven't been published. And if it has been published, and we do have a set of consultants now, they need to publicly declare AirCode either fit for purpose or not fit for purpose and be able to stand over that.
So it's interesting that this is outstanding, you say, Gary, but yet the AirCode seem to be working away on their contract, which has already been signed. I wonder what the point is of having a set of consultants appointed at this late stage.
You'd be suspicious of the purpose and all that kind of stuff, and you'd say, why was a €25 million contract awarded without actually knowing that the code that was selected was suitable for purpose? But again, let's get back to what is actually happening here. Designing a code is 5% of the effort that's being put into this. 95% of the effort is designing databases. You know, as I said, it's confusion. We've got completely confused about this. We spent 8 years talking about the design of a postcode, but now we're spending 95% of the effort in designing a database.
And here's
something got confused in there.
And here's the interesting thing. I mean, it's a kind of a well-known... I'm not sure there's people that are better able to describe this than I am, but there's a lot of experience, not just in Ireland, but around the world when it comes to large, especially large public IT infrastructure projects. Occasionally, you can find that they're getting commissioned by officials or politicians who may not necessarily understand the IT, and then they get input from IT people who see it in terms of their own expertise and skill sets, and who would be inclined to say, well, obviously what you need here is a big fat database because we're big fat database experts.
And there is multiple disciplines required in something like a postcode.
Yeah.
And I'm going to mention the word navigation again because that's my area. So you can accuse me of saying, well, Gary, your expertise is in navigation, so that's what you're going to think of, and I'll accept that. But what I will say as a counter to that argument is that the people who are the database people who are actually designing the postcode have put no expertise in terms of navigation into the design. So there's a compromise in there somewhere. And we need to look at that compromise.
Okay, and I'm not flying your flag for you, Gary, in particular, and I know that there are other initiatives and other companies and other codes, alternative options out there indeed as well. But I suppose what can be said for yours is that you've brought this navigation expertise to it, and then you've gone and worked with people on the ground. You've worked with Garmin, and you've worked with the HSE, and you've worked with certain organisations in terms of actually testing the thing in practice.
Yes.
And so you have that from that point of view.
It's proven.
From a technology point of view, Gary, what interests me is this. Looking at it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the air code system is a database of addresses, and the air code you get is an index to that database.
Yes, exactly.
That's as I understand it.
Exactly.
On the other hand, your system doesn't involve a database at all. It's an algorithm.
No, to say it's an algorithm probably done us a little bit of an injustice, because it's engineered to do certain things in certain ways, and again with the public in mind.
Mm.
So rather than being just a random kind of collection of characters output from an algorithm, it's engineered to perform in certain ways. In other words, it's always alphanumeric. Certain things don't happen. Certain characters are excluded.
No, I appreciate that.
You know, but just to make that point, and it's grouped into nested areas, and it has a checksum or a checker character built in and all that kind of stuff. But yes, you're right. It doesn't need a database, and for that reason, it is exceptionally flexible.
Mm-hmm.
It is low cost, completely low cost, particularly for the user, and this is the very important bit. Joe Soap wants to use his locate code. He buys a device. It's on it. There is no cost for it being on it. He's using it.
Suppose we're building a new housing development now, for example. Okay.
Yes.
Somebody in air code or in some civil service or local authority has to go and enter the air codes for the new letterboxes and the new houses which are being built in this new development or whatever it might be. On the other hand, if I am using perhaps your system, I can go and stand on my front doorstep with an app on my phone, deduce my own air code, write it on my envelope, and be secure in the knowledge that anyone else who's deduce my locate code, I should say, or whatever, and then be assured in the knowledge that from the point of view of latitude and longitude, anyone else who uses the same system will get the same code.
Exactly, and the point there is that when I'm actually building the property and I'm getting blocks delivered and concrete and everything else, people will be able to find it. I don't have to wait for an application form, and we don't know whether that's going to cost money either. We have no indication about that. It can be delivered straight away. Now, at some point when the building is built, okay, then we may fix that locate code to a certain precise location, so it's not variable. One of the things that hasn't happened here, and I probably need to make this if I can, Colin, is that some people have said to us, look, locate code is not suitable. So that's why it doesn't matter that it didn't get into the tender competition, because we decided anyhow it just wasn't suitable, because it suggested that it can't be unique for every property. Okay, well, the point we would say to people is that the way locate code is delivered right now is not necessarily how it would be delivered as a national system.
Mm.
We've delivered locate code as an optional consumer orientated, public orientated address code that people can go use right now. If somebody said to us right now, deliver that now as a national system, well, we would change certain things. And to be honest, we haven't put them into the public domain. Because why? Because everyone else got a chance to, some main companies got a chance to deliver those suggestions in a collaborative tender. We didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get the opportunity to make those suggestions in a closed tender system where nobody else can say, well, that was my idea afterwards, we will do that. And we have some very good ideas. Why? Well, we have a lot of years of experience in this now. We know exactly where the problems are, and we know exactly how we can address those. And locate code can be unique to every property. Locate code as it stands is a plus or minus 6 meter accuracy, which is a 6 meter radius circle of error to each location. From a navigation purpose, that's not a problem. Okay, but if you want to identify individual properties in some city areas where you have very tiny, particularly artesian cottages and stuff like that, as it stands, cannot uniquely identify them, even though they would have a number on the property which would identify them. Hopefully you'll understand that. But there is ways of making a unique identifier for locate code for each individual property. We have not revealed that to the world. as I said, we're waiting for the opportunity that other people have enjoyed to present that to those who want to listen, as in a closed situation where our ideas will be held and given, would be heard and given a fair hearing, like other people have been given up to now.
What do you think of the consultation element of this, and the collaboration and the consultative element in relation to government and the powers that be when it has come to putting this system together? I get the impression, Gary, that early on there was a certain amount of consultation. There were joint Oireachtas committees involved. I'm referring to the points that are listed on the Freight Transport Association of Ireland. Certain principles were established early on, and then the door was closed, as I understand it, and collaboration and consultation continued as part of that tender process, but that was excluded to certain companies and to certain individuals.
Yeah. I mean, well, the tender was announced, three companies were selected, those three companies went into the collaborative process. I don't believe that process went on solid for almost 3 years. I think it stalled. This is my opinion only. It was supposed to go on 9 months, but it went on for nearly 3 years. So something happened, and I believe what happened is Anpost said, hang on, guys, this is going to cost us $27 million to implement. And by the way, Anpost were one of those three companies. And they said, well, you know, why would we pay €27 million to implement a code that's only, you know, suitable for sorting mail when the mail business is going down? So it stalled.
Okay. Well, let me go back for a second here, Gary. So, and look at, I mean, at one point there were eight principles for a national postcode or address code system that had been established. This was part of some of your earlier consultations. This was included in the report of a joint Oireachtas Communications Committee in 2010. Maybe go into some of those, if you like, some of those principles as they are outlined there. But let me ask you one question about that. Would that system have cost $27 million or whatever to implement? Is this a project that has grown into something more expensive and more convoluted than it needs to be?
Well, again, 95% of the cost of the $25 million from the Exchequer is going into designing databases, address databases, which, if you know, as I said earlier, is something needed to be done anyhow, whether we had a postcode or not. Okay, so most of the cost of this is the database and address database design. Okay, so two separate things. And I should point out that the cost of €25 million to the Exchequer is not the cost to the economy. If you build a road, if the NRA goes out and contracts and builds for €25 million, builds the road, the trucks don't have to change their design or their processes to actually use the road. So that's the total cost. But in this case, that's not the total cost. €25 million builds the roads in this case, i.e. the postcode. But businesses, private citizens, government agencies, all that kind of stuff, then have to adjust their business processes to use that. The total cost is €100 million to the economy. So we need to get this right, and Alex White needs to think carefully, because there will be no second chance at this. We need to get this right. Your point about the nine criteria that were established first in 2005 and reiterated in Liz McManus's report in the Oireachtas Committee in 2010, which actually recommended our type of solution, by the way, could have been achieved by Locate Code or similar code. It's the databases that are costing all the money. So it could have been achieved by a low-cost solution like we have, and that's what Liz McManus said in her conclusions in the Oireachtas report. And databases are a separate issue. You can have a postcode or an address code or a locate code without databases at very low cost, and you can do everything you want to do, including the public safety aspect. Separately, if you want taxes based on property, so whether they be property tax, water charges, or broadcast tax, which we've yet to hear about, then you need an address database, so that you need to separate those things out. One interesting thing that's coming out of this, unfortunately, is that there was a report, some of what we're talking about now was questioned by the Public Accounts Committee to the Department of Communications back in the summer. And one of the replies from the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Communications in relation to all of this was that, you know, this is not going to solve address problems in Ireland, and it wasn't his responsibility to do that. So we're now going to spend $100 million on a postcode, Okay, I'm beginning to sound like Michael Ryan here. I think I actually hear that in my own ears at the moment. But anyway, we're going to spend $100 million on a postcode that will not solve address problems for the general public in Ireland, which is, you know, is really startling admission. And you asked me earlier what we think should come out of this. Alex White, as the new Minister for Communication, is the only Minister for Communication in the last 11 years that is going to have to stand over this postcode because it's about to be delivered. He really needs to take a look and make sure that it is what we need. It's not as an address database. That's a separate issue. It is something that the public can use, rely on, and be happy to use, that will enhance their life, enhance their public safety. And it fits the technologies that we're using nowadays, that people are using nowadays, like sat-navs, like navigation apps and all the rest. And it's interesting that no sat-nav, major sat-nav manufacturer or map manufacturer has come out in support of AirCode. There is no evidence of any support whatsoever, yet we know that Garmin are supporting us. TomTom support a system not unlike ours, but it's now their own system, so they've done their own thing. They're the two manufacturers, so if they're not on board with AirCode, what is? Nothing. Or is there evidence of something? Well, if there is, Capita have the contract now for almost 1 year. The contract was announced in October of last year, and in that time, we don't know pricing, and we have no evidence of any support by the technology sector. So there's a lot of questions that need answering.
Yeah, pricing is an interesting one. They haven't published any details on that. There have been suggestions that a license to use AirCode could cost 5,000
euros
per user. We're not entirely, there hasn't really been a commitment in relation to pricing, but obviously there is going to have to be some revenue generated to pay for this system, and it looks like businesses and delivery companies and people who want to navigate and emergency services perhaps as well are going to have to pay to use this system. Gary, let's be honest here, you're a business as well. If you were in a situation that AirCode, let's phrase the question more differently, I suppose. How do you propose to implement an address code system that will deliver the needs and address the points and principles that you've raised, but that will also make money for you?
Well, our business model, as I said earlier, was assessed by Enterprise Ireland, you know, before they invest in a company and encourage private investors, they go through the business model. So we have that assessed. And our business model obviously is about making sure that the public have access to the code free of charge without complication, no databases, no database updates and all that kind of stuff. So, and it's suited for navigation, in other words, for finding places. But then when it comes to the commercial sector, the people who benefit from the ability to be able to optimize routes or optimize loads based on precise addressing, then obviously there are bespoke and high-tech services that they can avail of, and there would be a cost which is based on the savings that they would make associated with them. So we've already started that process actually there's a company called Paragon in the UK who do route optimization for commercial vehicles and stuff like that. They use locate codes, and for people to have access to their software, there's a cost. They're not directly paying for a locate code in that, but we get a tiny percentage of the value of that. So that's the kind of commercial model we have. For the commercial users, there's a commercial cost involved. But for Joe's Hope, the people, tourists, people who are going to buy fridges for someone that they bought in Dundee and they need to find a house, or for the simple one man in a van operation, of which there's many in this country, there is no cost. It's, you buy your Garmin sat-nav, it's in there. It's there as a feature. You can create a locate code for anyone. There is no cost. And if you get to the point that people trust something, which they have, over 250,000 people are using locate codes. They trust on it. They rely on it. Some for private use, for some commercial use. Then you get to a point where those who are in the commercial operations, like couriers and delivery systems and all those kind of people, they can say, well, okay, people trust this, so they'll be prepared to give it to us, provided that we respect it. And okay, the business systems that allow us to use them, well, we'll pay for them. And the people in the UK, the members of the Freight Transport Association that you know, that you're hearing talking about Aircode, they're well used to postcodes and how they're used in the UK. You know, it's the same organisation, UK and Ireland. They're well used to it. They know exactly what to expect. So when you hear them saying that they don't think it's fit for purpose, these guys know. They know what they're talking about. They're using postcodes in the UK for their business for the last 30 or 40 years. They know what they're talking about.
And what they're saying, just reading that statement, they're saying is, we're not going to use it. We're not going to use Aircode. We can route right around it. The technology is already in use. And is it possible that there could be revenues projected here for Aircode, which simply aren't going to materialise?
To be fair to everybody involved in Aircode, I don't think they're depending on the revenues. Obviously, the people who are contracted to do it have to get paid. I think, in fact, they've been told or given license to sell their own business services around Aircode. Okay. There's some evidence of that on their website. So I don't think that Aircode, to be fair, is all about making money. That's not the truth. But the fact is that to use it, the country is going to have to spend 100 million euros. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that it does what it's supposed to do and that it's going to be used. If we next year introduce a postcode called Aircode and it's not used by anyone except when they're interacting with the state to pay, you know, tax, property tax and things like that, then it's not of any value to the public. And we will still have a problem that when somebody in, you know, West Clare picks up the phone and dials 999 or 112 and is asked for their Aircode, the people will say, oh no, geez, I got that in the post and I threw it in the bin. I don't use that at all. I don't have no purpose for that. Then we have achieved nothing and there's 100 million euros wasted.
When you were talking about this, Gary, initially you were saying you approached it based on your own background and your own experience as a naval navigator, which you've brought on land and on shore, as you said yourself. I'm looking at it from a technology point of view, and I think a lot of our listeners in technology.ie are doing the same. And when I thought about this yesterday, and I posted this on Facebook, I said it sounds to me in a way like the proposed Aircode system is using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, and maybe perhaps not very effectively. Would you say that's one way to look at it? Is this big database solution, is this part of the problem instead of stepping back from it and saying, no, this is a simpler problem?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I agree with you. But I'll make the point that I think they're confusing two separate requirements.
Okay.
Yeah, one is that we do need a definitive address database in this country for all kinds of things. You know, and again, more from a regulatory point of view than a personal or a private point of view. So that's one thing. We need a definitive address database. And we need also, by the way, to solve our addressing problem. Okay, so part of the addressing problem, which is separate to the database, is to have a means by which we can find addresses efficiently. So you have two separate problems. You have a definitive address database for regulatory requirements, and you have solving the address problem, the ambiguity in addresses, and an address code related to that. They need to be separated out. At the moment, they're completely confused. And as I said, 95% of all the effort that's going into Aircode is related to the address database. And really, the rest is forgotten about. So there is no navigation input into what has been designed. And for that reason, of the whole package of Aircode, we'll have something that is only 5% useful. And that's ultimately what's going to be aimed. So you're right. But the solution here is to separate out the two requirements, separate them completely, and deal with them separately. And then bring them back afterwards and join them together, which will be a relatively easy process.
Gary, we look forward to hearing more about it. I have a feeling that we haven't covered absolutely everything either today or yesterday on technology.ie, but we're getting a huge amount of comments in relation to it from listeners and readers. So we'd encourage them to get stuck into the debate and offer their opinions as well on the website at technology.ie. Gary Delaney, CEO of locatecode.com, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Con. Much obliged.